Thank you, worship team. Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. It's great to be worshiping together. Welcome to our service. A beautiful, beautiful day. If you were traveling last weekend, we're glad that you're back and glad to have you. I do want us just to start with a prayer for our children's pastor, Elise. Some of you know her because you've got kids or you've worked in some area of ministry there along the way. And some of you may have heard, but the last weekend she had a minor stroke. She had a TIA. And so she is recovering from that. She spent a few days in the hospital this week getting all checked out and tons of tests. I don't think they came to any conclusions or anything like that. She is a heart patient. She had a heart attack about 15 years ago, 13 years ago from a blood clot. And so she's always kind of dealt with that along the way. So she is home. She'd actually planned to be here today, but one of the side effects is she still has some double vision, and it's just causing some headaches and nausea and that sort of stuff. So she just didn't feel like she could make it in today. So she would have been here otherwise. But I told her we would pray for her, and that so you just encourage her when you see her along the way. So let's go to God in prayer this morning. God, we just thank you for just an opportunity to worship you and to focus on who you are. And ultimately, God, I pray that everything we do this morning would be about you and about giving you the credit that you deserve for who you are in our lives. God, we do want to lift up Elise this morning, and we thank you that she's out of the hospital. We thank you that she's okay, and we thank you that she's going to be okay. And we just pray that you would just continue to strengthen her, and as she recovers, just continue to work out the vision issues that she's having. Just be with her in the future as she just has to make some adjustments and maybe some changes and so that she can continue with health. And then I just pray for everyone who has health issues or working with family members who are struggling with health issues, and just give them the strength and the energy that they need to do that. And then, God, I just pray that you would just bless our time today and over the next few weeks as we just begin to talk about relationships and even the most significant relationships that we could have, our marriages. And I just pray you'd open our hearts and our minds to the things that you want us to know and the things that you want us to do in order to have great, great marriages. So open our hearts and minds to everything you want us to hear today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, we are starting a brand new series this week that we're calling Happily Ever After, if I can get that first slide up there. And I warned you that we were doing this, and yet you came back this week, so I'm thankful. And for those who didn't come back this week and thought they would just skip this week, the hard stuff's going to be really next week, so it'll be on them, right? So anyway. But we are for the next few weeks, we're gonna be talking about relationships, relationships as it relates to singles, moving into a special relationship. Maybe you're single and you've already moved into that special relationship and you're engaged. Relationships as it relates to newlyweds. You've only been married a couple of years or less. By the way, I don't see Lex here today. You're probably in the second service. Is he here? Raise your hand, Lex. Nope. Anyway, he and Jessica just celebrated 2 years, right, this past Monday, so congratulations to our student pastor and his wife. And we're talking about, relationships as maybe you've been married before and hope to be married again, or then maybe you've been, like my wife and I have been married for a long, long time, right? So she's raising her eyebrows, so we're not that old. If you've been married 25 years or more, would you just raise your hand real quick? Okay. Anybody 50 years or more? Okay. How long, Barbara and Bill?
Coming up on 51.
51 years. Awesome. That deserves applause. And 62, am I getting that right? 62 years, Bill and Betty. That's incredible, isn't it? That's awesome. So we are thankful for that. So we're talking about relationships. And since this is the first week, I'm going to kind of just try to set this up a little bit. And just maybe create a little bit of tension this morning that we're going to play off of for the next couple of weeks as we walk through this series. And there's not a lot of, today there's not a lot of Bible today. So if this is your first time here or you've been coming for just a few weeks and you're checking us out and you're wondering, you know, do they ever talk about the Bible, come back next week, because next week we are going to look at one of the most misunderstood and probably one of the most disliked verses in the New Testament as it relates to relationships, particularly as it relates to marriage. But I believe it's one of the greatest statements in the New Testament. And so we're going to really pick that passage apart, and we're going to take a look at that. So don't miss next week. But today, I just want to introduce a couple of things and highlight some things that will hopefully maybe just kind of set us up to be able to talk about some of this along the way. So let's get started. Let me start with this idea that when it comes to relationships, all of us have a box, right? We all have a box, an invisible box of our hopes, dreams, and desires. And if you're single and not dating anybody, this box is probably pretty undefined for you at this point. But as you think about the future or think about moving into a significant relationship, then these things become more and more defined for you. You have some hopes, you have some dreams, and you have some desires as it relates to that future relationship. If you're engaged, hopefully you're already talking about with your significant others. Hopefully you're already talking about what's in your box, or hopefully you've got a really good counselor or person that's doing some pre-marriage counseling stuff that's walking you through what's in each of your boxes, because that's really, really important. If you're married, you should know what's in your box. And some of us do, and some of us don't, and that's the problem, isn't it? And so as we have hopes, dreams, and desires, and as we think about the future, we have hopes, dreams, and desires about all of these things that are in this box. For example, we've got hopes, dreams, and desires about our financial futures, right? And we're getting married, or we're going to be married, and when we're married, we're going to have lots and lots of money, or no, we don't need that much money, right? Love will keep us alive, that sort of thing. We're going to have one income, we're going to have two incomes. I'm going to stay home, and she's going to stay home, or maybe we'll just both have so much money we'll be able to both stay home, right? We're gonna have a budget, right? Or no, we're not gonna have a budget. That sounds too much like allowance, and I don't want allowance and all that. Maybe we're gonna have a house, and maybe we'll rent for the beginning or lease, and then maybe hopefully we'll buy a house, and then it'll be a starter home, and then we'll move into our dream home. And as you move into there, you're probably gonna have some idea about how the chores are gonna get done, and maybe they're gonna get done the way that they happened in your house, right? Or maybe they're gonna get done in a different way and you didn't like how they were done in your house. For example, when Marcia and I were going through our pre-marriage counseling stuff, I remember her pastor saying to us that you're gonna have to decide who does the chores, right? And he told us a story, and he said, I was in the Navy, and he said, when my wife and I got married, I told her I had to make my bed every day of my life. And so when we get married, I am never making the bed. He said, I'll do anything else, but I am not me. He said, for however many years we've been married, he said, I've never made the bed. I turned, I looked at Marcia, and I said, I am never dusting the furniture, okay? I grew up, that was my chore as a kid. I hated it. I wash dishes, I vacuum, I mop, I clean toilets, I mow the lawn. I don't think I've ever, or maybe once or twice in 26 years, dusted the furniture. So you've got hopes, dreams, desires about how that stuff is going to take place. And then it's, what are we going to drive? We're going to keep driving the sports car forever and ever and ever. Or maybe at some point, I'll convince her, or I'll convince him to trade that in for something a little more practical, right? Think minivan, that kind of thing. Or no, I'm going to keep the sports car. So we have hopes, dreams, and desires about that. And then as you think about your future together, maybe you want to have a child, right? And you think about having a child, and you think, well, I was an only child, so I don't want to have an only child, so we'll have some children, right? And if we get two boys, we're just going to keep going until we get a girl, right? And some of you, you've had that conversation. And then we have hopes, dreams, and desires about our time, and how are we going to spend our time, particularly our free time, right? I'm going to spend a lot of my free time, I'm still going to spend it with my friends. Or no, we're going to spend all of our free time together, right? Because, I really don't want her to meet my friends anyway. And so we've got some thoughts, we've got some ideas about how are we going to spend our time in the future. And kind of related to time is the calendar, right? How are we going to spend holidays? How are we going to spend vacations? And this is a really, really big conversation for a lot of couples. A lot of couples have had a lot of discussion around this. How are we going to spend our holidays and our calendars? When Marcia and I got married, she had it all figured out, and she was really, really nice about it. She said, I only want 3 holidays with my family, and your family can have all the rest. I thought, that's great. And she said, so we'll spend Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter with my family, and in your family, like, she was really generous. She gave us, like, Halloween, Groundhog Day, Bastille Day, because I'm part French, that sort of stuff. And so some thoughts about how we're going to spend time moving forward into the future. And then there's this, there's every guy has some ideas about what he hopes and what he dreams that his wife will not wear to bed, right? And she's thinking, well, he doesn't care. He just wants me to be comfortable, right? That's not going to be an issue for us. He's going to accept me just the way I am and that sort of stuff. So there's some hopes, dreams, and desires about that. And then there's appearances, right, and fitness. And she's going to stay fit. He's going to stay fit. She's not going to lose her figure. One day he's going to have a figure, right? We've got some hopes, dreams, and desires about some of that. And then there's pets, right? And we're going to have a dog. And I grew up in a dog family, so we're going to have a dog. And I know she doesn't like dogs or he's allergic to dogs, but they're going to come around. They're going to love the dog. We're going to be dog parents, right? And we're going to drive all the other dog parents crazy. So we're going to have hopes, dreams, and desires about some of that. And then there's this big idea, and I don't even have an illustration really for it, but it's kind of the question of how are we going to treat each other in this relationship, you know, and how are we gonna behave towards each other? Are they gonna behave towards me? How am I gonna behave towards them? You know, and we think, you know, my husband or my girlfriend or my fiance, she's never going to say that. He's never going to say that, and they're never gonna threaten. There's an expectation. And maybe you've never even defined this part. Most people don't, but you have a clear expectation about how you're going to be treated in this very significant relationship. You know, if she loved me, she would never. If he loved me, then he will always, and that sort of thing. Now, there are several things that influence what we put into our hopes, dreams, and desires box, and we all have a box, right? And there are several things that influence. One of the things that influences this, one of the things that impacts this, is what we've seen and what we've heard. What we've seen maybe in other relationships, what we've seen modeled for us somewhere along the way, maybe what we've read about or what we've seen in our culture, that sort of thing portrayed in movies and TVs. But the thing that impacts what we put in our box the most is really what we've experienced in life. And maybe for us, in fact, most of us, it was probably, you know, what we experienced in the home that we grew up in. And that our hopes, dreams, and desires, they're a response to what we grew up in and what we grew up around. We either are trying to avoid something, or we're trying to recreate something. And it could have been our parents, but it could have been somebody else. Maybe it was an older sibling, or maybe it was just another couple that we knew that just had a really, really great relationship. And we looked at that and we thought, that's the kind of relationship I want to have one day. That I'm not simply trying to avoid something. I'm actually trying to repeat something. I'm trying to recreate something. But even in those situations, even where we're trying to recreate something that's great, even where we're trying to recreate something that's worth recreating, in the middle of all of this is me, right? Because the reality is these are my hopes, and these are my dreams, and these are my desires. And at some point in the relationship, maybe while you're dating, maybe once you get engaged, after you're married, maybe a month, maybe 6 months, maybe even a year after you're married, but at some point along the way, we essentially take our box of hopes, dreams, and desires, and we say to our spouse, here, right? Make them happen. Make them come true. This is what I've always hoped it would be like. This is what I've always dreamed it would be like. This is the reason I pursued you. This is the reason I said yes. This is the reason I walked down the aisle and said I do to you. It's because in my mind, this is what our future looks like. And so I need you to come through for me. But the challenge is, and the problem is, when we hand somebody our box of hopes, dreams, and desires, it doesn't feel like hopes, dreams, and desires to them, does it? To them, it feels a lot like expectations. To them, it feels like a weight. To them, it feels like a homework assignment. To them, it feels like, you know, responsibility. To them, it feels like if I don't come through for you, then you might just be disappointed in me. Expectations are simply this. Expectations are the strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future. Right? It's not our dream home, but we're working towards that. And he hasn't gotten rid of that, but he's going to. She hasn't changed her mind on this, but she's going to come around. You know, it's the strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future. But the problem is this in our relationships and in our marriages. It's that attempting to recreate or avoid something from the past, it transforms hopes, dreams, and desires into expectations. And here's the thing. Even in the best relationships, even in the most ideal relationships, when we hand off our box and to someone else, and they in turn hand their box off to us, do you know what happens? Our hopes, dreams, and desires collide. And when our hopes, dreams, and desires collide, we do one of five things. And I want to talk about the first four things this morning for just a few minutes. When hopes, dreams, and desires collide, we do one of four things. And the most extreme thing we do is we leave, right? We just leave. Hey, you know, we say it's like, you know, that's not what I signed up for. I didn't know. You didn't tell me. I don't think this is ever going to be in our future. I don't think I can ever live up to that. And I can't live with the pressure, so I'm out of here. And so we just leave. And do you know what we do when we leave? When we leave, we pick up our box of hopes, dreams, and desires, and we carry them off to the next relationship. And so we leave. And if we don't leave, the next thing we do is we win, right? We just want to win. You know, in almost every relationship, not all of them, but most of them, there's generally a stronger personality in that relationship. And oftentimes, in those situations, just one person just kind of powers up, and they win. You know, they leverage what I would call the four C's of an unsatisfying and dysfunctional relationship. You know what those are? The four C's, I'll tell them to you. If you want to have a terrible relationship, if you want to have a dysfunctional marriage, here is the recipe right here. You convince, you convict, you control, you coerce. You convince, you say, now look, honey, I realize that you think this is the right way to do it, but you're wrong, right? And I know you have your thoughts about how to handle finances, but let me show you a better way to handle our finances. And I realize you thought we would be doing this, and this is the way it's done, but let me tell you how it's really done. I realize, but honey, you see, you've got the wrong box, right? And I've got the right box. And your box is okay, but my box is a whole lot better. And so, you know, this is the rational way to do it. This is the right way to do it. And if you'll just trust me, and if you'll just live the way that I want you to live and become more like me, you'll be happier, right? Because isn't that the recipe for becoming happier, to try to be like somebody else and to give up on and abandon who you were created to be? I mean, it's a recipe for happiness. So, honey, if you will just abandon everything in your box and embrace mine, then it'll all work out. And so you convince, and you convict, and we convict. You convict by making people feel guilty, and we get passive aggressive, and we push, and we pressure, and we do all that, and we control, and we coerce. And at the end of the day, and this is interesting, at the end of the day, the winner is happy, right? And I mean, and why wouldn't they be? I mean, life is great. I mean, they're living out their dreams. They've got somebody else to help them live out their dreams. And, you know, they can't quite figure out what's wrong with him or what's wrong with her, but it's okay. They're coming along, right? But they're happy. I mean, we've got two people working out of my box, right? And the other person, I mean, they ultimately just conform. And they conform to the image of your box. And the third response is just really the flip side to the person that wins. The third response is we just become the conformers. And we become somebody we're not to compensate for somebody who won't love us. Or we become somebody that we're not to compensate for somebody who just won't accept us for who we are. We abandon who we all are in order to make somebody else happy, regardless of whether it really works for us or not. We just conform. And, you know, conforming It works for a while, because when we conform, the temperature goes down in a relationship. And the stress and the pressure goes down a little bit. You know, as long as she's happy, I'll just go along. As long as he's off my back, I'll just go with the plan, right? But at the end of the day, when somebody in a relationship is giving up who they are to become something they're not, at the end of the day, they lose respect for their partner, and ultimately their partner, sometime along the way, will lose respect for them. And then the fourth response, I think, is probably the most common response. We just compromise, right? And perhaps you saw this in somebody you grew up with. Maybe you saw it in your parents weren't really unhappy, they weren't real happy, but they just kind of got along, right? I mean, they just figured it out. Because in a compromised marriage, it's like, you know, I'm gonna do my part and you do your part, and I'm gonna keep an eye on you to make sure you're doing your part, and I know you're watching me to make sure that I do my part. In a compromised marriage, there's scorekeeping. People keep track of things. You know, it's a bit contractual. You know, didn't we agree that last Christmas we would spend it with your family, and that means this Christmas we're spending it with my family, right? Or you know, last weekend I had the kids so you could go out with your friends, so that means this weekend, you know, I get to go out and do my thing, and you've got the kids and all of that. And this kind of relationship, it will work, and you can certainly go the distance, and you can end your life together, but there's a better way. And at the end of the day, there's a better way. So when your hopes, dreams, and desires collide, we leave, we win, we conform, and we compromise. Now, I said there's another option. There's a fifth option. And next Sunday, we are going to spend the entire time talking about that fifth option. But for the next few minutes, I just want to frame the problem in a way that will hopefully just kind of help us get our mind around this and understand and get us on the same page for where we're headed next week. And so here it is. Expectations create pretty much in every relationship, but expectations create a debt-debtor relationship. In other words, whenever I put all of my hopes, dreams, and desires on you and expect you to make them happen, in that moment, I am now living under the assumption that you owe me, right? You owe me. You know, see, we've committed our lives together. You've committed your life to me. I've committed my life to you. Or we're moving towards committing our lives to each other, which means that these are my hopes and my dreams and my desires. And now you owe me. You owe me attention. You owe me the dream house. You owe me the finances. You know, you owe me kids. You owe me to stay in shape. You owe me all of that stuff. You owe me. And I owe you. And even though both of us are in debt to each other, it creates this debt-debtor relationship, which is not what God had in mind when he put the first man and the first woman together. See, it boils down to this. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Let me ask it this way, because I think this is a big part of the problem, and this is a big part of where we're going next week, and this is a big part of the tension, I think, that we sometimes feel in our relationships. But how much gratitude do you express to the people who owe you money? How much gratitude do you express? Or how much gratitude do you express to people who do what they're supposed to do, who simply provide a service that they're supposed to provide to you? How much gratitude do you express to that person? The answer is minimal, right? It's minimal. We rarely express gratitude for what we've come to expect. Now, here's the tricky part about being with the same person for many, many years in marriage. In every relationship, in every marriage, you get into a routine, right? And that's there's nothing wrong with routines. We've got to have routines. They're just a part of life, and they're a part of marriage. But when we come to expect from someone what they've always done, if it comes down to me expecting Marcia to do what Marcia has always done, then the gratitude is going to be minimal, right? Which communicates, this is what I expect all along, right? And I'm not going to thank you when you do it, but I'm going to ask you when you don't. And I'm not gonna say, wow, thank you for doing that, even though you do it every day or every week or whatever. But if I get so accustomed to that that I come to expect it, then I stop expressing gratitude for it. Because here's what gratitude is, and you can start doing this today. Gratitude says, I didn't expect it, and I'm thankful for it. I didn't expect it. I'm thankful for it. I'm telling you, this is how you create great relationships. This is how you strengthen a marriage, because gratitude is an indication that I haven't filled up a box of expectations and handed them off to you. So here's the question that we're bound to have. What should we do with our hopes, dreams, and our desires? I mean, what should we do with them? I mean, should we just pretend? You know, I never really wanted children. I don't really care where we live. I don't really even have any thoughts now. We don't even have to live indoors if we don't have to, right? I don't care about any of that. I don't care what I drive or any of that. I don't care if we have money or not. Love will keep us alive. But what do you do with all of this? I mean, do you ignore them? No. Do you deny them? No. I mean, think about it. Some of us have spent years filling up this box with our hopes and our dreams and our desires, haven't we? And the thing is, so much of the things that are in this box are good things, are great things. In fact, some of these things stem from the fact that you and I, that we bear the image of God. So what do we do with our hopes and our dreams and our desires? The short answer is, you keep them in the box. Now, that leads us to the next question. How do you do that? How do you keep them in the box? How do I keep all of this stuff in this box and not put it over there and then hand it off to you, hand it off to the person that I plan to spend the rest of my life with? How do I keep the things in the box? And the answer to that question is really, I think, the best answer to this next question. And this next question is going to bother you. And it's going to bother you because you know the answer to this question. This is something that great couples know. And this is a game changer. And this is nothing new to us. It didn't originate with me. But this is the best way, I think, to keep hopes, dreams, and desires in the hopes, dreams, and desires box. And out of the expectation box, it's to ask this question. What do they owe you? What do they owe you? What do they owe you? And great couples and happy couples know that the answer to that question is nothing. It's nothing. Great couples know they owe each other everything, but are not owed anything in return, which doesn't make any sense, so I'll say it again. Great couples know that they owe each other everything, but they are not owed anything in return. There's something about that just doesn't make sense, right? It just doesn't make sense. But let me tell you about the great couples that you know. There's something about them that doesn't make sense, right? I mean, they go through hard times and they're happy. It doesn't make sense. And they go through difficulties and they just get along and they love each other and it doesn't make sense. And they're not the wealthiest people and they're not the most talented people, but they walk through life and they're fulfilled and it just doesn't make sense. And some of them had lots of kids, and some of them weren't able to have any kids, but they're happy and they're in love, and it doesn't make sense. There's a mystery to this, and I'll tell you what the mystery is. It's that they wake up every single day living under the assumption that they owe each other everything, but they are not owed anything in return. Great couples understand, and they live by what really Christian couples and really every follower of Jesus should understand and should live by. And it was Jesus' last and greatest commandment. And here's what Jesus said. He said, As I have loved you, I want you to love one another. As I have loved you, I want you to love one another. On the night Jesus was betrayed in that upper room, Jesus sat down with his disciples, and he says, okay, guys, I'm going to boil it down for you. And he took 600 plus Old Testament commandments and he boiled them all down to one command. And he said, guys, as I have loved you, that's how I want you to love one another. And then the Apostle Paul, he comes along later, and he takes this very broad and this very general command that Jesus gave us, and he applied it over to every relationship we have. In fact, anytime you see Paul giving any kind of instructions in how to get along with each other, he is pointing us back to this command that Jesus gave. And here's what Paul wrote. He said this. He said to all Christians everywhere, he said, walk in the way of love. Just as, and throughout Paul's teaching, we see these two words, just as, over and over and over again. Because Paul says, as a follower of Jesus, in every relationship, in every situation, we are to take our cue from our Savior. And he says, so I want you to walk in love. So Paul, what does that look like? And he says, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. And great couples, happy couples, healthy couples, they take that same idea and they drop it into the center of their relationship with all of the dynamics and all of the drama and all the potential tension and all of the issues. And when they do that, marriage begins to look like a race to the back of the line, which sounds miserable, which is why so few try it. But those who do actually enjoy it. And it's one of the things that really make for a truly great marriage. Now, we're going to pick it up right there next week. And we're going to look at another thing that Paul said as it relates to our marriages and as it relates to our relationships in general. But before we do that, before we leave, I just want to give you a couple of things to take with you this week. And they're just things to think about. You don't even have to do anything this week. But here's the first thing, and it's a question, and it's this. What is in your box? What is in your box? You should know the answer to that. You know, one of the reasons that you accidentally apply pressure to the person that you love is because you're not clear about what is in your box, and so it's not clear to them either, and so it's confusing. So what is in your box? You should know that. If you're single and you're not even in a relationship at this point, you should start thinking about that question and what is going to be in your box, because at some point, you're going to give a box to someone. We just all do that. And then the second question is this, and this is probably the more important question. Are you expecting someone to carry it around for you? I mean, have you handed it off, either intentionally or unintentionally? Is there someone that you love who is carrying around the weight of your expectations, of your hopes, and your dreams, and your desires? What is in your box? And have you handed it off to someone else to carry? Think about that this week. And don't miss next week as we look at one of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture as it relates to marriage and as it relates to relationships. And we'll pick it up right there next week. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the relationships that you give to us. And God, we thank you for the relationships that you give to us, to our significant others, to the people that we date, to the people that we ultimately fall in love with and begin an engagement, to the people that we marry. And God, those can be some of the most rewarding, happiest relationships in our lives. They can also be some of the toughest and most difficult. And so God, I just pray that you would meet each one of us right where we are, whether it's in a current marriage, a current relationship, or if it's in a future one. And you just help us to prepare ourselves to be the people that we need to be, to step into those relationships so that they can be the relationships that ultimately you want them to be. God, give us the courage this week to ask these two simple questions, but very powerful questions. Help us to begin to think about what is in our box, what is our hopes, dreams, and desires. But more importantly, have we handed them off to someone? Have we put undue pressure on someone because we've given them not hopes, dreams, and desires, but we've given them expectations? So God, help us to ask and answer those questions, and then help us to come back next week as we look at some of the next steps. In Christ's name I pray, amen. We're gonna observe communion this morning, and before we do that, as our team gets ready just to lead us in our song of response, I want to invite you to join us at this table. You know, Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have the most important relationship ever. And he modeled unconditional love for us when he went to the cross for us. And then he gave us this incredible symbol of communion to remind us of what he did. And the Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he gives us some instructions about how we should approach this table. And this is what he said. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then Paul says, a person ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and before they drink of the cup. So as we stand and sing our song response, let me invite you to just examine your heart and where you are in your relationship with Christ. And is there anything you need to give over to him before you come to communion this morning? Let's stand and sing.